The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside Paul Brecht. I'm Kuule Ogbayani. Happy May Day. My goodness. Here we are. It's already May. My gosh. Sorry. I need to collect myself a little bit because I can't believe it's May.
Time has been
flying. And it's
flying.
May Day. This year has just been kind of insane, insanely fast. But I think it's because we've just been so busy rocking and rolling here at the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. That kind of adds to how quickly we're moving throughout not just the calendar year, but also the sports year. You guys, we have our final, or at least as of right now, our final high school broadcast of the season is tonight. Like, what? Where did the time go? This past weekend was our, again, still tentatively, our final HPU broadcast of the sports season. So tonight we have OIA boys volleyball action for you from Radford High School. The Division II game is between Radford. Is between Kailua and Waialua. That game is at 5:30 p.m. and then followed by the Division I game around 7 o'clock between Moanalua and Mililani. Both teams in the Division I championship are undefeated for the season. So we'll see who is the one that falls first in the season and who walks away with the OIA championship. So that will be wrap us up. At least as planned for our OIA coverage on air this season. And that's how I really know, like, wow, it's May and we're already done. Obviously, our team here is going to be out bringing you digital coverage of the state championships and a lot of other things going on this week. But just to think that our on-air stuff is pretty much all pow. We still are working on some things potentially, but just as far as what was planned, we are all done, Paul. Like, that's insane.
Year two for me is done now.
Oh, my gosh.
Essentially,
you've been here for 2 years.
And that's kind of my thought is like, oh, my goodness. It's been two full years. I look at all the stuff that we've been able to do over these past 2 years, and it's just fun to see the growth. And even this specific year, it's been fun to see the growth in our team, the growth in the station, the growth in our beautiful people, listeners. It's been a really fun year. And we're looking forward to bringing the beautiful people some even more fun stuff next year, some fun plans in the works. And obviously, summertime is the best time to brainstorm even more fun stuff. So also, if you guys ever want to see something and you have ideas, you like prefer stuff, we kind of want to cater to you. Please send us a text. Please shoot us a message on Twitter, on Facebook, on something. If you have an idea that you would like to hear about, a story idea that you think is interesting, and we'll try our best to cover it, because that's also what the summertime is good for, is some fun various projects where the rest of the sports are not going on anymore, or it's the off season for everyone but football, I guess.
Speaking of summertime projects, want to make sure we mention this for sure, is that one of the projects we did last summer that we'll probably pick up again this summer is catching up with some of the OIA high school graduates that are, you know, are going to some of the Division II schools locally here, because we want to give them their flowers. We focus a lot on Division I, the local media does, as they should. I know that's where a lot of people pay attention, but we'd want to try to make sure we let everybody know about what some of the local high school grads are doing at the local institutions here. And one of the projects was or one of the people that Paul did a story on last summer with that series was Taryn Fujioka, a junior shortstop out of Chaminade University. And yesterday they announced like the PacWest Awards, and she had just became the first Silver Swords player to ever win PacWest Player of the Year. So Chaminade for the season, you know, UH Hilo made the postseason, Chaminade did not. However, that just speaks to the testament on how good Taryn played this year, is that she could, usually the player of the year goes to top player in the conference normally, but shout out to Taryn Fujioka who for being selected and earning the PacWest Player of the Year. If you guys want to go check out that story, we'll repost it in our social media. It's kind of way down if you go to hawaiisportsradio.com. If you follow Paul and I on Twitter, you can check out our Twitter, and it's kind of right there, the link to the story on Taryn from last season. But I'm like, hey, that's cool that it popped up again. But speaking of softball, coming up also later today, or later in the show, excuse me, it is Manawahine Wednesday. So that's a good segment from Taryn to Jenna Rodriguez. Now she is Jenna DePrima, but a lot of softball fans here know Jenna Rodriguez as the softball player that was part of the 2010 Women's College World Series team. And she was the one that hit that walk-off home run in Tuscaloosa to upset Alabama and send Hawaii to the College World Series for the first time. So I got a chance to catch up with her over the weekend. She will be in town as the 2010 team is being officially enshrined and celebrated into the UH Circle of Honor 2024 class. So we will catch up with her and you'll hear my chat. Also coming up on the show, we'll hear a little bit about beach volleyball as they get set to open up the NCAA tournament this Friday. Well, you got beach volleyball and water polo this Friday, but today we will hear from beach volleyball coming up on the show. Woo! There's just a lot going on. We're rocking and rolling because, you know, Paul and myself, and even if Michael were here, we'd rather not talk any basketball today. So it's perfect. Today is the perfect day to talk about everything else. We talked a lot of basketball yesterday, so we will talk about everything else local today.
Was there basketball that went on?
Yeah, no, I don't know. It was just something happening.
I was too focused. The Hawaii football got a commitment from a USC defensive tackle. Yeah. Haloti Ngata's nephew committed. So that was pretty gnarly. I didn't realize any basketball happened. So.
Nothing. That's why we are sticking with our local sports and catching everybody out. That's one of them. And that was a perfect segue, not planned at all, because I was going to give all the beautiful people the update now that it's May. And this is by way of Warrior All Access. Shout out to them, who always make things very easy for us to keep up with. But they kept track of all of the 20 or the April offers that went out from the University of Hawaii football program. So now that it's May, and these are some of the Hawaii football April offers. Again, this is the list curated by Warrior All Access. You can go to warrioraccess.com or follow them on the social media at Warrior Access. All right, so going down this list, we'll start with one of the local kids on this list, offensive tackle Jordan Kernigan, 6'4", 270-pound offensive tackle, again, out of Campbell High School, class of 2025. Going on to the continent, or not on the continent yet, excuse me. Didn't want to forget a couple of other local kids. 2025, class of 2025, Kahuku edge rusher LeBron Williams, 6'1", 220. You also got a kid that was from here, and formerly St. Louis. However, he is at Bishop Gorman now. Another class of 2025 safety, Brayton Correa, 6'1", 180. Now we officially go to the continent. Defensive back Marion Eubanks Jr., 5'10", 155-pound athlete / defensive back, 2025 out of Eastside High School in Georgia. You have a kid now, a 6'5", 280-pound defensive lineman, Jaden Jamal Haney. I think that's how you spell pronounce his last name, but class of 25 out of Santa Margarita Catholic High School. Another one, you have Ocean Taufa, 6'2", 240 out of Bishop Gorman, future class of 2026 defensive end. And now there's a class of 2027 kid on here as well out of Bishop Gorman, Terrence Grant Jr., 5'11", 205 running back. Continuing that Bishop Gorman pipeline that we got going on, mainly because of Chris Brown. Hey, shout out Romo Dunze, new Bears wide receiver. Ayo, I wanted to slip that in there. Of course, you guys know that. And then last but certainly not least, to round out the April University of Hawaii football offers, you have Caden Branston, defensive end out of Liberty High School in Arizona, 6'3", 270. Class of 2025. So a bunch of offers going up to go on top of, as Paul mentioned, the commit that came in yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Yes.
Yesterday or 2 days ago. I'm like, it's
pretty
all,
sure
it's all
it's
blending
yesterday.
Together.
I'm pretty sure it's yesterday. I'm checking very quickly right now. God, this guy tweets so much. He's so annoying.
Yes, former USC defensive tackle Jamar Sikona has verbally committed to the University of Hawaii. 6'2", 295-pound defensive tackle with 2 years of eligibility left. Woo!
It just continues the recruiting that Jeff Reinbold's been doing on that defensive line. You've seen some commitments from some JUCO players that have been pretty highly sought after, Jordan Crawford being one of them. And then now getting, I mentioned it before, this is the nephew of a former all-pro defensive tackle in the NFL, the former Ravens defensive lineman Haloti Ngata, who, you know, he's pretty good at football.
Yeah, just a bit.
And I am one who always likes to bet on athletic genes. And I'm talking about, you know, G-E-N-E-S, not, you know, the denim. But I really, really like this pickup because, I mean, it goes back to the conversation that we had as soon as football season ended last year, which was the Bo's got to get beefier. This gets them even beefier. In a talented defensive line room with a strong coach in mm-hmm. Reinbold there, who is also quite passionate, we'll say. And it just excites me even more to see how Hawaii's defense is this year. Because last year we saw the run and shoot, just run and shoot all the time.
Oh, barely run.
Yeah, well, you know. But I mean, there were changes to that as well as they got beefier up at the offensive line. They added some more talent in the backfield to some depth for if Tylan Hines were to get hurt once again. And it's been a nice thing to see that Hawaii self-scouted and they're like, okay, now let's correct this. And that's just what this feels like is them continuing to correct it. Getting a Power 5, Power 4, I don't even know what it's going to be called anymore. I think it's Power 4 now, right? Because Pac-12 dead. Anyway, getting a high major type transfer, a guy with multiple years of eligibility, and you get to see him in this defense that I'm excited to see with Dennis Thurman running the reins this season. It's a good pickup. Continuing just a pretty long string of good pickups this offseason for the Bows.
Yeah, and just the continuing notion of they're not stopping. As I mentioned, all of these guys, majority are class of 2025 that were offered in April, and then you have one that's 2026. And then I'm curious on this guy, but I mean, obviously in high school they play both sides, so he is listed as like an athlete slash safety slash running back in this Terrence Grant Jr. Again, 5'11", 205. That's kind of like the size of what's his name, Christian Vaughn type of size,
the one that we have now.
Right? A little not as tall, but very, very stout type of just pure solid that you need. So this is interesting to see again, three guys from Bishop Gorman, one being formerly from here and St. Louis, and then Kahuku Campbell High School. So that's the type of stuff you want to see, of course, in the offseason is not only people or players committing to the University of Hawaii, but of course, seeing these offers go out because especially in football, right? You have all of these scholarships that you need to give out or all the places on the team that you need to fill. And not every player is going to accept an offer to come play here. So you just need to throw or cast the net, as we like to say over here, and see who wants to come. Hanapa. All right, we got to step aside. When we come back, you'll hear my chat with former University of Hawaii softball player Jenna Rodriguez next on Wake Up in the Den.
What a girl wants, what a girl needs. Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den, Ku'ule Agbayani and Paul Brecht. Yes, for all of you NBA fans that have never really watched or knew about, you know, pop back then, this is the original song of What a Pro Wants, What a Pro Needs.
How dare you? How dare you bring up that commercial?
I'm sorry. What? It's not your team.
Oh, God. That commercial.
I know. I've seen a lot of.
So much.
It's kind of like my Buffalo Wild Wings during the March Madness, the box out. And like, but I actually love the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial.
I liked it at first.
I've been seeing the complaints on Twitter, and I'm like, you know what? It's Manohina Wednesday when I try to play like. Kind of like either women about like the ladies or about artists, female artists on our Mana Mahine Wednesday. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to play this song because it's the NBA finals. And I've seen a lot of yap on Twitter about that.
It is very, very funny because the best part is like, it's a good commercial. It's a funny commercial. It is simply that they're playing it as much as the like the Whopper commercial. And it's not as catchy as the Whopper commercial or memeable as the Whopper commercial. That's how I feel about it. It's a good one. I'd love to see some more variety in the commercial.
I think the worst thing about that commercial is I cannot tell you what it's about, like what the product is.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah. I just tell know you it's like that. I know who the athletes are and I know the song. When I first heard it, I was like, hey, it's like What a Girl Wants by Christina Aguilera. But like, I'm trying to think about it in my head and I'm like, because at least Box Out, I know it was Buffalo Wild Wings. And then the BK commercial, you already know it's Burger King. But now that I sit here, I'm like, I don't even know what that commercial is about. So it's not really
working.
I think
it's AT&T.
Okay.
I don't know that for a fact.
I'm going to go look it up while this interview is playing. All right. Anyways, so on this Manawahine Wednesday, our special feature guests, I was able to catch up with Jenna Rodriguez. Now she is married, though, Jenna DePrima, who is part of the 2010 softball team that was the first team from Hawaii to make it into the Women's College World Series. And you guys are probably most familiar with her name in particular because that team was stacked. I mean, they had so many players that have recognizable names, but Jenna was the one that hit the walk-off bomb, two outs, bottom of the seventh inning in Tuscaloosa to send Alabama crying. Bye-bye-bye.
Send them packing.
Send them packing. And Hawaii goes to the College World Series. But anywho, this is my chat with Jenna Rodriguez. So catch us up before we take a trip down memory lane. Tell us all about what you've been up to since your time at the University of Hawaii.
After I graduated at U of Hawaii, I coached and got my master's at Lamar University in Texas. It was a first year softball program. So I was there for 3 years as an assistant coach. I finished my schooling, I graduated, and then I moved back to California to be closer to home and family. And ever since then, I've been a brand manager working for a beer distributor in California. I've gotten married and I have a 2-year-old son now.
So that's probably the hardest job and hardest part of your life, but also the most rewarding, huh? Being a brand new mom.
Yes, it's very rewarding and I am very busy.
I know. And just to fill everybody in about trying to schedule this, because I myself am busy and scheduling with Jenna to do this interview, it was quite the little time gaps in between, because that is when it's your son's nap time.
Correct.
All right. Now, going back to taking us all the way back there to your playing times at the University of Hawaii. Well, first of all, I mean, what brought you to the University of Hawaii in the first place?
I always wanted to play Division I softball. And after going to a JC, I was looking to continue my softball and education. And one of the girls that I played club ball with, Alex, was playing at U of H, and I reached out to her. I filled out the recruiting, pamphlet questionnaire and had my coach get in contact with Coach Bob, and he was able to see my stats throughout my last year of my JC, and I was able to go on a recruiting trip out there to view the school, and that was my first time I've ever been to Hawaii. And I fell in love, and that was the journey of getting to Hawaii.
Yeah, and you got quite a significant amount of playing time, actually started in each of these 64 games as a junior, and you play pretty much all over the field, it seems like, as well. Not only are you a slugger, but playing all over the field. So tell us a little bit about how you've been able to be, or you were able to be such a diverse player, especially for the Bows.
Going into a program, knowing you have to earn a spot, just being versatile and, trying my hardest in any position that, they asked me to try out or to even practice at. I really wanted to play and I did whatever it took. There was nights where I would grab some of my teammates and we would go and hit in the cages. I definitely put in a lot of extra time as well. And I also grabbed teammates with me that would, work alongside and put in those extra hours too.
And we're joined by Jenna Rodriguez, a member of the 2010 softball team that is going to be inducted into the University of Hawaii Circle of Honor in the new class of 2024. All right, take us through that journey. I mean, that was just an incredible season for the University of Hawaii softball team. Finished the season with a 50-16 record overall. And something that's really cool that a lot of people forget about is that you guys hit 158 home runs as a team, which was an NCAA record that was not surpassed until recently by Oklahoma in 2021. So just tell us a little bit about the team dynamic, and then what just made you guys so solid that year?
We had an amazing time. When you win, it's the funnest time to be playing a sport, and to having each girl on the team be able to help out in any different way, whether it was hitting, fielding, pitching. That's one thing that was different about our Hawaii team was every single individual was good, and they brought great different dynamics and fundamentals to the game. And if you weren't the one that day, you knew the next person behind you, in front of you, even anyone who came off the bench could help the team, and they did help the team. So you could rely on your teammates 100% of the time if you individually could not get it done. And that's what, you know, made our team stand out so much, was someone was there to always pick you up, because we had that much athleticism, and everyone practiced, you know, tremendously hard, put in the hours, put in extra hours to, you know, get the results that we got.
And boy, those results obviously being etched in history, going through that Tuscaloosa, super regional, beat UC Davis and Stanford, Texas Tech. And then you're up against number one Alabama, not just the number one seed, but just the top team in the country as a whole. Going into that game, obviously you go into every game believing and feeling like you can win. But if you remember at all, what was maybe like the team speech, I think, a lack of a better term, like what was everyone telling each other, and just the feeling heading into that game?
Heading into the game, we were 1-1, and we knew we had to, you know, win the next one to go to the World Series. And, you know, just the conversations as a team that we had is we weren't ready to go home. We weren't ready to call it a season. We wanted to win. We knew we deserved to play on that field with that team. And we wanted to compete because we weren't ready to go home and end our season.
Okay, now I'm going to take you to the big moment, stepping up to the plate. Which, this is the funny part about all of it, is because it was in Tuscaloosa, but then because this, obviously the bracket is set up the way that it is, Hawaii was actually the home team. So giving you the opportunity and the team the opportunity to walk it off. But what was going through your mind stepping up to the plate, knowing that just all it is the swing of the bat, and here you guys go and we'll be able to win?
My approach to the plate, specifically for that at bat, was, you know, anything close to the plate, I'm going to be aggressive. I was always an aggressive hitter, and with facing a pitcher with that much talent, being the number one pitcher in the nation, you might only get one good pitch and you might not get any good pitches. So, you know, my mentality going in was just to stay aggressive. And I did have a lot of confidence because of the success earlier in that game. But anything close, I was going for it.
And I think the most iconic thing was the waving of the arms, right? To go around, rounding out, coming into home. And there we go. Biggest upset. And now fast forward all the way to where we are today. How did you guys as a team, I mean, I know it was on social media and they had something special with Bob and whatnot, but maybe for all of the players that are off doing their own things and, you know, being parents and living their professional lives, especially if you're not living here in Hawaii, how were you informed of the honor of being inducted into the Circle of Honor?
we were all on a group text, and it got announced, you know, within our team, and everyone's super excited. We've been all communicating on group text to, you know, see who's able to come out, and just to say how excited we were and how honored we were to be able to get back together again and, you know, relive this moment. So it's kind of been a text thread that's been going on with the entire team, but, technology nowadays, but yeah, we're all excited to, you know, see each other. It's been so long, and, you know, now some of us are parents, and it's just amazing how time flies.
I love it. And are you bringing the family out, or is it just going to be yourself that comes out?
My husband and I will be coming out.
Ooh, so you get a little parent break of just ever so slightly, huh?
Yes.
All right, Jenna, before we let you go, though, what is maybe like the just a few words that you would like to say to all of the University of Hawaii fans?
I'm just so excited to come back and see the school and see all the supporters there. I want to thank everyone who's ever followed, you know, our team, just Hawaii athletics in general. It makes the experience that much more as an athlete when you have that type of support, whether you show up to the games, watch on TV, listen to the radio. It really plays a huge role in that athlete's life, of being supported and, you know, going out there and wanting to just win, and, you know, win for the fans, win for the team, and just win for the state in general. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who's ever supported Hawaii athletics. It means a ton.
I love it, and perfectly well said. Well, better let you go. I know you're super busy, but thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and we'll see you this weekend.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
And that was my chat with Jenna Rodriguez, or now Jenna DePrima, who was part of the 2010 softball team that went to the Women's College World Series and held the home run record for a long time in the single season until it was broken in 2021 by Oklahoma. But that team was just full of talent. They swept all major WAC awards that year with Jessica Iwata, who was Player of the Year, Stephanie Ricketts, Pitcher of the Year, Kelly Majum was Freshman of the Year, and Bob Kulin was Coach of the Year. And then you have someone like who a whole other team, like Jenna included, who maybe didn't get those that any type of awards, or at least not the major ones. And she was just rocking and rolling. So this Sunday, they are going to be officially enshrined into the class of 2024 UH Sports Circle of Honor, along with, since it's Manawahine Wednesday, along with former sports reporter for the Honolulu Star Advertiser, Ann Miller, and then, of course, Cindy Lewis, the mom of one of our good friends. We forgive him for being on the other station, though. Tiff Wells, his
Shout
mom.
Out Tiff. Tiff checked in on me after a certain event of sports yesterday. Just good guy. Good guy.
Yeah. So, but his mom gets inducted as well, as she was a sports reporter for the Honolulu Star Bulletin and Star Advertiser for 39 years. So Manawahine Wednesday, special shout out to the 2010 softball team and those women that really paved the way in journalism for women here in Hawaii. And then, of course, along with James Jim Kalili, former offensive guard for the University of Hawaii, and June Jones, the winningest coach in the era of Hawaii football with 76 victories in 9 seasons. All right, got to step aside. When we come back, we will catch you up and hear from a couple of people from UH Beach Volleyball next on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuhale Ogbeani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people, especially all of our beautiful lady listeners on this Manawahine Wednesday. We appreciate all of you for tuning in this and every weekday morning on Wake Up in the Den and all of our programming, including what will come up later today in OIA Boys Volleyball Championship action. All right, sticking to some of our beautiful things and our women's sports, want to make sure you guys are well aware of the beach volleyball team that is going to compete in the NCAA tournament this Friday. Their game will be at 7 a.m. Hawaii time, and then you can watch it on ESPN Plus. They will play LMU, who, before we hear from head coach and one of the players, Pawnee Napoleon, just because they kind of bring it up during the time, so I want to set the stage, that LMU seems to have Hawaii's number the last couple of years. Hawaii lost in the first round of last year's NCAA tournament to LMU. They lost 3-1. And then to open up this season, they lost to LMU in the Outrigger Duke Honomoku Beach Classic. So first we will hear from head coach Evan Silberstein and then Pawnee Napoleon.
All right, coach. So this is what you've been working for all season long to get to this point, knowing that this is where that journey of March to a championship begins. How excited are you to be a part of this?
Yeah, I'm so proud of this group for the way that they've been playing in the last couple weeks and their commitment to getting better as we've gone through the season. So what we were able to do on senior weekend and catapulting that into the success that we had at Big West Championship is just really exciting. So yeah, we're fired up to go to Bama. It's like an annual pilgrimage, and we're stoked to be representing down there again.
This is a team that heading to the Big West Championship was very confident. They knew they were going to go and win that championship. How important is that aspect of it, of you got to believe it in order to achieve it?
Yeah, we really work on like the architecture of like the mental game. So part of that is doing imaging day in and day out. Part of that is working on cleaning up any weeds that happen in the partnerships or between the coaches, the players, all the different things. So doing a lot of things to work on culture this year. And I think as we come down to the end of the season, we always say that those are the things that are gonna prove themselves. And so a lot of the work that we've done on culture is now proving in this championship segment. So we're excited to go out and just be ourselves and play our best ball. And obviously the seniors and now the sophomores, I think we have to start talking about too, what they've been able to create as well. Really exciting group. And yeah, we just want to go play.
What was your initial reaction to drawing LMU, that team that you guys are very familiar with in recent history?
Yeah, you know, we laughed. You know, we talked to the athletes a little bit in the front, and there's a long history with committees out here, and it's easy to get caught in the weeds and that stuff. And we said, listen, these are the people that make the decisions. Some of them are my friends. Some of them are administrators or coaches just like me. So we're just going to send them all of our aloha, all of our mojo, and we're going to trust that what we get is going to be the perfect thing. And as I really think about it, LMU is the perfect opponent for us to play. I think it's an opportunity for us to show what our process and our progress has been. We've lost the last 2 years. We can go out and beat them this year. We lost on day one of the season. Well, we're ready to make it their last day of the season right now. So we're confident and we're excited at what that. I think we got the perfect opportunity to show off the progress that the program has made.
Yeah, and talk about that progress that you've seen from this team from, like you said, that beginning of the year against LMU to now about to face them again in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit in January and February, which was fail fast, you know, fell forward. You know, how do we keep figuring out ways to make mistakes? And as even all the way up until this weekend when we were playing Big West, we were kind of really talking to them about three things, which was connection. How do we stay connected to one another, especially when it gets difficult? How do we stay composed when pressure comes, which you saw them do? And the last thing is stay curious. We were maybe going to play Bakersfield. We didn't know. We were maybe going to play Cal Poly. We didn't know. So I think that element of curiosity and adaptability has been really helpful for us. And again, living those even in the high pressure moments has really panned out and put us in a position of, you know, success. And yeah, we're just stoked for everything that's happened up till now.
Do you personally update those Big West and NCAA banners, or how long does that take?
Those are good questions. This is we're very proud of our banners. When we first started winning, we wanted this vision of that it was going to go on for a long, long period. The goal is up above those that we'd eventually be able to hang a national championship banner. And then you can see over on the side, I have another run that I can add for the All-Americans. We figured we'd get there in a decade or so, so we're getting pretty close right now. Yeah, so I definitely spend quite a bit of time visualizing, and I'm looking forward to that 2024. So here's to Peterson Sign Company getting out here sometime this summer and working our trade out and getting them up there. I got to get the approvals first, but usually when you win, eventually they'll put them up for us. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And that was University of Hawaii beach volleyball head coach Evan Silberstein. Now here's grad transfer Pawnee Napoleon.
So this is what you've been waiting for all season long. You guys are about to board the bus and go and chase after a championship. How excited is this team to get to this point, having accomplished what you guys did in winning the Big West?
We are extremely excited, and it's definitely a deserving feeling because I know in previous years we've been a little scared losing Big West, not having that that ticket. But since we had that ticket stamp, we're just coming in more confident and just more excited because also our team culture is just so great this year as well.
The progression of this team from the start of the season to now, does that add to the confidence where you're able to see just how much this team has improved over the course of the year?
Oh, definitely. I definitely noticed the growth that all of us had, and it shows the depth that we have with each and every player that we have at each fight. And it's just, it's a good feeling to have going into the NCAA tournament.
Talk about the matchup. I mean, this is a team that is no stranger to you guys this year and in the years past going into the NCAA tournament. But talk about LMU and kind of what they present when you guys face them.
So I wasn't here the previous 2 years at LMU, but I definitely have played against them earlier this year and when I was at UCLA. But I think talking with my teammates, we're prepared, we're hungry. Honestly, we're glad that we're playing against them again because it's just giving us another opportunity to get our revenge back, kind of, yeah.
Was that your teammates who have been here the last couple of years,
yep,
their reaction when the reveal was made?
Oh, yeah.
LMU again.
Yeah, they're like, oh, dang, LMU again. But I kind of see it like, yes, we want LMU again. It just makes it more exciting that way, and definitely it has us more hungry.
How much does it help that you have familiarity with them?
I think it definitely helps. I mean, I'm definitely familiar with the seniors, but even with the younger girls, it was just an instant click. And like I said before, the team culture overall just really helped us connect all together on a deeper level.
It's such a journey for you, you know, from starting your career here, coming back, being a part of some of those championships up there, and then now being able to be a part of this. You know, how do you describe the overall journey and just how much you're looking forward to this moment of being able to play in the NCAA tournament again?
It's, you know, it feels kind of surreal, but at the same time, it was meant to be. I always knew I wanted to play for Hawaii, and once Danny Alvarez asked me to come back, I had no reason to say no. So it was just, my intuition just told me, why not? And I love everything about Hawaii.
Does it feel a little different second time around? Does it mean more to have Hawaii across your chest?
Oh yeah, it definitely means more for sure. And then, I've never been so prideful playing for a school like Hawaii, so I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be here.
Can you take us back to the moment at the end of the Big West final when it got down to court four in the third set, and your teammates are going into like extra points in the third set, and then the moment when it finally ended?
I was actually a little bit nervous, but then when we're up 12-9 and then Long Beach came back to tie it 12-all, for some reason I just, like, the trust in my team, I just felt so much more, and I just knew we were going to come out with the W, so yeah.
And that was, it feels so weird to say that she's a grad transfer. That's Pawnee Napoleon. Well, she is for beach volleyball, but she was here at the University of Hawaii first, and then she transferred to UCLA.
She was ours first.
Yeah. So I'm like, it feels weird to say she's a transfer.
Home.
She came to where she should be, finishing up her collegiate career. Again, the Rainbow Wahine are getting ready, or they're already there. This interview was a couple days ago, and then they have made the trip. So they will face LMU to open up the NCAA tournament. And as we mentioned before, and you heard during that interview, that LMU has had their number the last few matches, knocking the Rainbow Wahine out last year's tournament and then beating them to open up this year's season. So you know what? We're going to change things up. It's kind of like when it came to the women's water polo, who also play on Friday, but with the Big West action, they've been losing to UC Irvine the last couple of years in the Big West Conference tournament. And then this year, they ended up playing Long Beach State, and then they won. But hey, there's always a time to win.
We're due.
We are
that
due.
That is how I'll say it. We're due.
So you better watch your back, LMU. Coming for you this Friday.
It's wraps for them.
Yeah. The only thing, though, is if and when Hawaii does beat LMU on Friday, again, 7 o'clock a.m. Hawaii time, on Saturday, they will likely face the number one seed in USC beach volleyball and come up with the upset.
If there was ever a team to do it. Why not us?
Just a heads up. If and when they advance to the quarterfinal round and play USC, that game is on Saturday at 4 o'clock Hawaii time, in case for all of you beach volleyball fans that want to be awake and ready for that game.
I was going to say, I don't think you mean 4 o'clock, the one that I was hoping you meant.
4 o'clock a.m. Hawaii time. All right. Got to step aside. We'll be right back to close things out and actually get you filled in some somewhat breaking news that we just saw it as it deals with the women's UH women's basketball team or former player on this Manawahine Wednesday on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den, Kuule Ogbayani and Paul Brecht. All right, pretty cool news that we just saw via Alex Delanian, UH Women's Basketball Assistant Coach, retweeted an article. Former University of Hawaii women's basketball player Amy Atwell getting a second chance in the WNBA. So that's pretty exciting. As you guys know, she was drafted by the LA Sparks with pick number 27, played a few games, and then started one after being waived. And she's been playing in Australia for the Perth Lynx the last couple of years. And now she will get a second chance with the Phoenix Mercury, playing alongside Diana Taurasi. So that's going to be really exciting. And it was interesting because in this article, obviously she talks about, you know, feeling good to be back, as she is back in the Mercury's training camp in San Diego and everything, and just saying that she feels more confident and feels like she belongs. She said, quote, 2 years ago, it was a bit like being thrown in the deep and having to swim. Obviously, it was a dream come true being drafted and playing in the WNBA. Before that point, I thought I was ready for the WNBA, then got there and realized how not ready I was. The difference between college and the WNBA is crazy. The athletes, the physicality, the IQ, everything is a whole step up that I kind of didn't expect. She continues, it was a huge jump, and I think in the end I realized I wasn't as ready as I thought, which is why it kind of ended the way that it did, but I definitely feel more prepared this time around. So fortunately for her, she is getting that second chance, and that's why it's bringing to light what Kelsey Plum has said, the fun smack talk that Diana Taurasi has mentioned when it comes to the rookies like Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, everybody coming in, nobody really knows. And there's this huge, like, you know, magnifying glass now because those athletes in college brought so much attention to the sport. But just like we see in the men's sports in the NFL, the jump from college to the NFL level, like someone that you're like, man, that guy is such a solid player in college. And then you go up to the NFL and a lot of times it does not work out, or they don't even get drafted because the skill level is just so, this is the best of the best. Just like it comes with the WNBA, this is the best of the best. And Amy was like, whoa, I was not expecting this. Fortunately, got a couple more years to continue playing professionally. And now her mentality is different going into it and she'll be more prepared. And now she's not only, at least Diana Taurasi is her teammate. So that's a good thing now.
Yeah. I mean, you put it very, very well, Ku, where anytime you move up levels, I think you see it from middle school basketball to high school basketball to college basketball. Mm-hmm. Basketball, I shouldn't even just say, but that's the sport we're talking about. But any sport, when you move mm-hmm. from high school to college, college to the professional ranks, not only does the game get faster, all the people who make it to the next level are the cream of the crop from the last one. And most of the time, that doesn't just mean cream of the crop athletically, but it also means intellectually. And that's mm-hmm. something, especially in the professional game, that I don't think people take into account enough of how much you need to actually understand the sport. And that goes for football, goes for basketball, goes for baseball, softball. so on and so forth, all the way up water polo, whatever you want to say. Like, you need to understand that these people, when it becomes professional, when it becomes, you know, high level, now all of a sudden so many resources are being poured into it. There's so much information. There are people who are fighting for their, you know, their families' lives, essentially, when it comes to the professional ranks. It's different from those college levels, where even the best of the best need to take a second and realize, like, oh, these are the best of the best also. And these are the best of the best of the best. You know, you add one more best in there.
And that's why Amy's quite frantically pointing it out, that she was playing professional, again, Perth Lynx WNBL, and she did really well, second in the league for scoring with 18.8 points per game, 40.1% from deep in this last season, and then always, like, rose to the big occasions, 9 triples at 64% in game one of the WNBL Grand Final Series. So she's been doing really well overseas, and then obviously, like we just mentioned, the WNBA is just another big step up professionally, but at least she's, as she mentioned, she's now more mentally prepared in terms of what to expect, because you feel like, wow, I got drafted. Like, I'm pretty darn good. I'm ready for this to play professionally. And then you just get smacked in the face, obviously figuratively, that,
and
whoa.
Sometimes literally. Yeah,
sometimes literally, probably. And that's why she's like, what is, like, whoa, this is intense here, you know? And you see they've been posting practices and training online, like, from different WNBA teams, and it gets really intense. And that's probably what we don't see, because you're obviously not going to post some of the intense moments in practice on social media, because then you got to deal with everyone being like, blah, 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 blah. But this is exciting for Amy, so I wanted to make sure we let everybody know, because with the WNBA season just being, now that we're in May, it's really just around the corner. And there's another team, Phoenix Mercury, who is getting a lot of attention, a lot of big games because of Diana Taurasi and how she went viral a lot of the time during the NCAA tournament, which is so fun. And it's going to be a really exciting season coming up, but we can look forward to hopefully seeing Amy get some action as well back in the W.
I believe it's 2 weeks from today, the season opener for the Mercury. Ooh. Against the Las Vegas Aces.
You watch your mouth, Paul.
the Las Vegas Aces, the back-to-back defending national. Oh, my, God. I'm all over the place, guys. I'm talking about college. They are national champions. Shout out, what is it, Noah Lyles, who was like, world champions of what?
Yeah.
Whatever. But no, I believe 2 weeks from today, April 15th, a perfect way to finish our Mana Wahine Wednesday, because our Rainbow Wahine, we've sung their praises over and over and over again, and now we get to sing the praises of one that has moved on to the next level, now gets a second opportunity, and like you said, just really dominated in the WNBL, which was awesome to see, and now gets a chance to play with one of the GOATs in Diana Taurasi. She talked a little bit in that article, too, about, you know, getting to meet Brittany Griner and these all-time great players, and they just kind of walk up and they introduce themselves as your teammate, and how surreal that is. It's cool to see. It's going to be cool to see this WNBA season, and even more so if we have a former Rainbow Wahine playing in the W as well.
This is one of those, like, as if this upcoming WNBA season couldn't get any more exciting, then now you have a former Rainbow Wahine thrown in there. I've talked about, like, the Minnesota Lynx a lot, with Alyssa Peely being drafted so high, of, you know, native Alaskan and Samoan descent. And obviously, yes, you have Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, Cardoso, bunch of the players that
Aaliyah
you can go through.
Edwards,
Aaliyah Edwards.
You can go through
every
single rookie.
It's going to be insane. Hopefully we can get some Las Vegas games on here. That's all
I'm
saying.
That'd be
fun. I'm going to try to effort that. I was trying to look it up in Google where their games are via the radio. But anywho,
they're going
to
be here.
Finish up the show just how we started, though. Want to give a shout out to Taryn Fujioka, shortstop from Chaminade, being selected as the PacWest Player of the Year, the first Chaminade Silver Sword softball player ever to do so. And that wraps up our Mana Wahine Wednesday. Tune in later this afternoon for OIA Boys Volleyball Championships. But we got to go. For Paul Brecht, I'm Kule Agbayani. Bye!